Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Inside the Clubhouse, now celebrating 10 years on the Score.
And that we are, and we're happy to, that you are joining us here as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito, in for David Haw today. Glad to be alongside with you. Plenty of Chicago baseball news to talk about. We've been Cubs heavy, talking about their hiring of Craig Counsell in the first hour. And Bruce, we definitely want to get to the South side and what Chris Getz had to say at the GM meetings.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind on the South side, you know, ever since the firing of Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, the hiring of Chris Getz, a new hiring of an entire front office, new coaching staff. Pedro Grifol will start his second year with the team, and now the Jason Benetti situation. So with that in mind, myself and three other Chicago reporters in Arizona with at the general manager meetings, we're talking to Chris Getz, and we asked him, how indeed he felt about his team moving forward in 2024.
Well, it's piece by piece. It really is. I'm set out to really improve our defensive play. We'll allow our pitchers to attack the zone and be more efficient. I do believe that we need to become more athletic. That speaks to the improved defense, we hope. And obviously running the bases and taking extra bases, those types of things. The style of play, we're looking for players that understand what it takes to be on a winning ball club. And that comes to that starts with their approach to the day-to-day basis, being in the right place at the right time, on the field, and more or less being some baseball players that are going out there working together and competing. We've got a talented group, there's no question. I don't like our team, and we've got to make some adjustments so we improve for 2024.
Chris Getz right there, and you don't often hear the team's general manager say that he doesn't like his team, although he didn't mean it in a literal sense. You heard him talk about what he was looking for going forward, Bruce, and you get the feeling that style of play is going to be a big thing along with different pieces there.
No, I have to correct you, Mike. He did mean it in a literal sense, and the follow-up bite to that was him talking about the fact that they don't play the game that the way it has to be played. They need to bring in players that do play the game that way. And there will be changes along the way. He did say they have talented players, but they haven't been able to play a team game. And that's something that's on him and the manager. So with all due respect, moving forward, this was a shocking statement at the GM meetings from him because of the fact that, you usually hear a general manager speak, Mike. And general manager speak is usually, we have talented players. We're going to get our manager and coaches to coach them up. We're going to be better. We heard the opposite from Chris Getz, that we have to make a lot of changes here. The players that are going to remain from the previous years, if they don't fit in, we're getting rid of those guys if they can. And so I think if White Sox players were listening at all to what Chris Getz had to say, he was pretty much saying that either shape up or we're going to ship you out. Now, in some cases, You look at Mankata's contract, and it's 1 year, $24 million, okay? So the likelihood of him going somewhere else in a trade is minimal. You look at some of the other things like Luis Robert, one of the top five players in the game, it's unlikely that he's going somewhere else. You look at Dylan Cease, one of the top pitchers in the game coming off of a poor year, still is thought of as somebody that can bring back two or three outstanding players with 2 years left on his contract. That's a different story. So these are the storylines we'll be watching with the Chicago White Sox moving forward and how Chris Getz handles it. But he pulled no punches, saying that they have a lot of work to do and they're going to make trades, sign free agents where it makes sense. And I applaud him for his honesty.
Yeah, no, and what I meant, I guess, is that it wasn't that he disliked all of the players on the team. He just didn't like how the team was built and the way that some of them were playing. So I'm curious to see it, Bruce, because I'm willing to give Getz the benefit of the doubt. We talked about this with Wayne Randazzo in the earlier segment in terms of, you know, will Sox fans give him the benefit of the doubt because, you know, he comes from this front office. But you mentioned all the different changes that they have made to the coaching staff and to also the front office in bringing in some outside voices that had not always been there before.
Again, it's easy for me as a reporter to tell White Sox fans to give the White Sox and Chris Getz an opportunity to show what they can do. The huge disappointment cannot be discounted over the last few years. It's only a few years ago, I think in maybe 2020, that we heard from General Manager Rick Hahn saying, we deserve a seat at the table. In other words, the White Sox needed to be respected moving forward for the moves they made. And it looks certainly like that in the truncated season of 2020 and the 2021 when the White Sox won the division. Their vision was pretty much on key, on point, that they were going to continue to move forward in this window here for the next 3 years. After that, to be a playoff team every year and a World Series challenger, at least in some of those. And none of that transpired, unfortunately. So trust in the ownership, front office, everything else is not there for White Sox fans, and understandably so. But the one thing you cannot do if you're a White Sox fan is become a Chicago Cub fan, become a Milwaukee Brewer fan. You are a Chicago White Sox fan through and through. And these are just hard times that hopefully will turn better for them over the next year or so.
Sox fans, your thoughts at 312-644-6767. And Bruce, we had a text asking about Steve Stone's, what's his plan in the broadcast booth? Stoney will be back. I did see that, but the Jason Benetti departure, certainly another thing worth talking about as Jason took a job just a day or two ago with the Detroit Tigers.
Look, we heard a lot of nice things from Jason, and Jason is not just a good announcer. He may be at the top. He might be on the current Mount Rushmore of great broadcasters out there. That's how great and versatile Jason Benetti is at his trade. And it is sad for a lot of people to see Jason go. But I will tell you the backstory of this is that it wasn't always peaches and cream with Jason Benetti and the White Sox. There were many times where Jason had questioned his authority to broadcast the game he wanted to broadcast. There were other times where the White Sox asked to rein it in a little bit on certain parts of the broadcast. This was not a road to get here that didn't have its bumps in the road. And that's how you get to a situation where Jason Benetti is leaving for the Detroit Tigers. Look, the Detroit Tigers are a wonderful historic franchise. But let's look at the reality. The reality is that Jason Benetti had his dream job and his career was going so well that he has this huge deal with Fox. He is so well thought of. He is so versatile and good at what he does. The White Sox let him do an awful lot of games nationally to enhance what he did. They gave him time to do professional things elsewhere. They tried to work it out. But in the reality, people were not happy. He was not happy. The White Sox were not happy. He's now a Detroit Tiger broadcaster. I love Detroit, but what does Detroit have to do with Jason Benetti? You know, I didn't get it. I understand that it's going to give him the flexibility to broadcast elsewhere and do all the other great national things he does. But this wasn't how either side had envisioned it when this started out about 7 or 8 years ago.
No, and Jason had only nice things to say on his way out the door about the White Sox giving him that opportunity back in 2016, and we'll be seeing him. We'll be seeing a lot of him with the Detroit Tigers as he comes back through town. A few calls on the line, Bruce, as we go to Owen in Willowbrook talking White Sox and Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Owen.
Hi, guys. Hey, it was refreshing to hear Getz say that about the ball club. You know, I'm a lifelong White Sox fan up until about 4 or 5 years ago, and I just didn't think Hahn and Williams knew talent. So I'm hoping that he actually goes out and gets guys that are true baseball players that know how to play the game. And the other thing is, I'm not fond of our manager, and I think obviously the Sox aren't going to go out and get rid of Grifol because he was just brought in last year. But I would like to see them take a look at A.J. Pierzynski. I think A.J. Pierzynski would demand ballplayers to be accountable, and I think he'd demand ballplayers to play the game the right way. But I really like what Getz had to say.
Thanks a lot for your call, Owen. Appreciate it. Mike, look, Grifol will get his opportunity with a new club. I don't think he had much of an opportunity last year with that team that started 7-21. Sure, people can say, well, that's part of the manager's fault too, but I think the deck was stacked against him with the group that he had. That's how it appeared to me all year. So I'm more than willing to give him an opportunity moving forward to show what he can. And as far as Pierzynski or Ozzie Guillen, if I was managing a team, if I was general managing a team, Mike, those would be two of my top picks, okay? I love the baseball acumen and the guts and the ability to communicate as well, send a tough message as Ozzie and Pierzynski. I assume Pierzynski could, and as Ozzie did. So from that perspective, I get what's going on.
Agree with you on both points there, Bruce, and on Grifol. All I will say is that if the results are not there this season, then it's a very easy decision in my mind to make after next season. One more Sox call before we get to our Jed Hoyer tape. Adam is in Frankfurt wanting to talk White Sox here on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Very, very, you know, it's a pleasure to talk to you both. So I appreciate it. I've been listening for a long time. So
thank you.
I did want to, you know, I grew up with Hawk Harrelson and everyone, and, you know, just really enjoyed those calls. It was sad to see him go. But, you know, I have a 7- and 10-year-old that have been only listening to Jason Benetti and Stone, you know, and when he was leaving, I told the kids and they were shocked. They're like, why is he leaving? What's, you know, and so it was hard to explain it to them. But my question is, do you think they will go like outside the White Sox organization to find his replacement? Is there someone that they're already looking at or kind of know that he can play in? To be there, like, is there any whispers yet of who may be taking that job, if they've even thought of it at all?
Well, you know, again, I believe that Mike Monaco, who stood in for Jason numerous times this last year and has been a broadcaster with the Boston Red Sox on a part-time basis for a number of years, is a prime candidate, as our old friend Connor McKnight, who does the pre and post game on the radio and is sat in both on television and radio going forward. I think those are two prime names you can look at. Monaco got rave reviews, and Mike, I don't know if you heard Mike Monaco do games, but he is outstanding.
Yep.
He is really, really good at this, and he fit right in. He did his homework. It sounded like he was a White Sox broadcaster every time he did a game because he seamlessly talked about the players, chatted up Steve Stone perfectly, set him up perfectly. I think he's a prime candidate to be that job. But Connor has come an awful long way from being a a reporter at The Score, all the way to being a talk show host here, moving on with his great career to being a pre- and post-game host, as well as sitting in for radio and television. So I would say those are two top candidates. I wouldn't say they're the only ones, but I would say looking at what Brooks Boyer is looking at for their next broadcaster, I think both guys will be looked at and looked at intently.
I think those two make perfect sense for the job, Bruce, and I agree with you on both, and I have enjoyed both Monaco's work and Connor's work as my old update studio cohort here at The Score, but certainly doing a great job there on the White Sox broadcasts. We want to get to, in this segment, to Jed Hoyer. Now, I want you to set the table for this, Bruce, because here he is talking about Shohei Ohtani. He's a free agent this offseason, but this sound goes back a few years, correct?
No, the sound does not go back a few years. This is sound from this week at the GM meetings. And he would not talk directly when asked about Shohei Ohtani and the Cubs' interest, okay? But what we, myself and the other reporters from Chicago who were there, talked to him a little bit at length here about in 2017 when Ohtani was becoming a free agent. The Cubs were one of those teams in the running. I asked Hoyer to expound a little bit on what he knew and what his impression is of Shohei Ohtani from that time.
You know, I mean, we had a great meeting. It was, you know, it felt like we prepared a ton. It was a really good dialogue, good conversation. Obviously, he was going to only choose one out of seven. But, you know, I think about the time, if I'm not mistaken, and that was after 17. You know, I mean, we had just been in three NLCSs in a row, won a World Series. You know, we had things rolling pretty well at that point. I mean, I think that it doesn't surprise me. He took a meeting with us, even though we were, I think, us and Texas were the only two teams that weren't on the West Coast, I think. So I think that was why we were outliers. But it doesn't surprise me given when that happened. I mean, we were, you know, like I said, we had it rolling at that point, and I think he was intrigued.
Did you feel pretty good about a chance at that time?
Yeah, it was hard at the time because thought we were at a pretty big disadvantage not having the DH at that point. You know, it was pretty clear that he wanted to do both, and DHing was the best option for that, and we couldn't provide that, and the Dodgers and Padres couldn't provide that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was four AL teams and three NL teams, and so. I think that's right. I think it was Seattle, San Francisco, LA, Texas, us, San Diego. I think that's right. So yeah, it was four NL teams and three. Four NL teams, three AL teams. Not that we were at a big disadvantage because we couldn't offer them the ability to DH. So that, as good as the meeting went, we knew that was always going to be an uphill climb. And at that time, there was definitely a lot of questions about was he hurt or not. You know, I think that he had, I can't remember the details anymore of why or how many innings he had missed at the end of the year or whatever, but there's definitely some questions about like, was he hurt? Would he need Tommy John? And so the ability to DH as opposed to play outfield was certainly something that was discussed at that time. So it doesn't surprise me in the end that he picked an AL team, but wish we could roll back the clock and take a shot at it again.
Whatever
you know?
You projected about him when he came over, what has shocked you maybe the most?
I think going back to when he came over and when we met with him, there was zero questions about his ability on the mound, and that's all borne out. But I feel like the bat questions, I mean, there's a lot of questions about, you know, how would things translate and, you know, would he be able to handle inside fastballs and stuff like that? And, you know, he proved he could do it. You know, So, I mean, there's no question that the offensive part of his game was underestimated. I think the pitching was probably viewed accurately. I think if you go back to that meeting, you know.
Did you get any sense of, you know, the fun guy or a personality when you were able to talk to him?
No, we had a great meeting, and that was a big part of our meeting was just, you know, realizing that if had a bunch of people lecturing at him in a different language, that wasn't going to be ideal. And so we talked, kind of had him doing a bunch of different stuff, and he was really engaging and had fun with it.
Jed, when you think about the success that you've had in Ringham, say, how much does that inform just your understanding of Japanese players, the market overall, and maybe lead to greater success down the line?
I mean, I hope we learn a lot, you know, from having Say as a player. I mean, it's been it's in a great place right now, but the ride hasn't been perfectly smooth the whole time, and I think you learn a lot about the assimilation process during that. And so there's no doubt that, like, what we've learned, you know, with him and Japanese players in the past, I think you only get better and better at, you know, helping them assimilate or having structures in place that can allow that.
That's Jed Hoyer at the GM meetings talking to you, Bruce, and the other reporters there about Shohei Ohtani and his first stab at free agency back when he was coming over from Japan. And they touched on it right at the end there, and I wanted to ask you about this because I know Yu Darvish loved his time in Chicago, Seiya Suzuki currently here, and you just heard Jed talk about that. But I wonder how much that, if at all, would inform Ohtani's decision. At the very worst, at the very least, you know, he can talk to those guys about what Chicago and what the Cubs are like.
Yeah, I'm sure that goes into it. But people would be naive to think that that was going to be a deciding factor as to where he ends up. Ohtani's going to end up where he wants to play. He's going to be doing, and this is important for people to understand, he's going to be doing as much interviewing of teams as teams will be doing of interviewing him. He's a known quantity at this quality at this point. He is a guy that first and foremost is one of the most dominant hitters in Major League Baseball. He's going to be the MVP in the American League this year. Looking at that, he can be and was a dominant pitcher in baseball, will not be in 2024. The thoughts are after a second elbow surgery, he will be back in 2025. The contract will be structured such that if and when he comes back as a pitcher, that money will be put into the contract as well. Those incentives will be put into the contract as well. Still, you're looking at a $400 or $500 million player a year. It might go higher than that. It just depends on the imagination of the teams and what they are looking for when you get Ohtani. When you get Ohtani, Mike, you're not only getting a home run hitter and a pitcher, you're getting a cult hero who will fill your ballpark just about every night if you're a resourceful team that can afford his contract. With that in mind, people will not shy away the five or six markets that can afford him to put him out there. There are other markets like a San Diego, maybe like a Florida team, like an Arizona that wouldn't normally be able to afford this player, but the revenues that he will bring in from both TV, ticket sales, international marketing is going to be so enormous, and the attention that he will bring to your team is so enormous that might just transcend small markets from going their usual pattern and going after this guy. I wouldn't be surprised if it's upwards of 10 teams that make serious offers. Now, where he wants to go is another matter. We'll find that out relatively soon here, but again, the Cubs' interest in Ohtani is real. Certainly, Jed Hoyer and the front office have not talked about it, will not talk about it. Doesn't serve their purpose to let people know what they're thinking because they're in competition with these other clubs to try to get his services.
Absolutely. We'll talk more Ohtani in our final segment. Coming up next, though, after this timeout, we will talk to Barry Meister. Barry is Craig Counsell's agent, and he's had quite a busy week. We'll talk with him about it next. Barry Meister coming up on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Inside the Clubhouse, now celebrating 10 years on the Score.
And we are back. Hour two rolls on. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David today. And we're talking baseball with you, the Chicago baseball fan. And the big news of the week, Bruce, the hiring of Craig Counsell. We will now be thrilled to get out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We'll talk to his agent.
One of the great agents and great people in the game of baseball, Barry Meister, nice enough to join us on Saturday, the 10th anniversary of Inside the Clubhouse today, to talk a little bit about the in-workings of the Craig Counsell signing and Craig coming over to the Chicago Cubs as their new manager. Good morning, Barry. Mike and I appreciate your time today. How you doing?
I'm good. Glad to do it.
Yeah. So let's do the backstory here. You're going through handling the situation for Craig Counsell as his agent. You're taking offers from numerous different teams. He has interviews. And then it leads up to November 1st. We know he met with the Cleveland Indians. We know he met with the New York Mets. Take it over from there, Barry, and give us some insight as to what transpired at the point.
Well, after the 1st of November, his contract expired, so he became able to talk to clubs that were interested but who didn't reach out for permission. The Cubs reached out, and Craig met with them, and I subsequently visited with Jed, and Craig and Jed got to talk, had a lengthy meeting to talk about the pros and cons, and that in some ways they're kind of the same guys. You know, they love baseball, they're good family people, they both really want to win, and they hit it off, and subsequently Jed and I put our heads together, and when all was said and done, we found a meeting of the minds. It was really as simple as that.
Barry, when his contract expired, when it became apparent that he was going to be out on the market this year, he was widely thought of as the best guy out there. So, and Bruce and I discussed this earlier, it's a lot more than just a team picking a new manager, because the manager, in this case, Craig Counsell, really had a choice to make, too. I mean, he controlled this as much as the teams, would you say?
Yeah, I would. You know, every free agent discussion, whether it's a player or, in this case, a manager, is, you know, almost a journey of, you know, self-introspection. What do you want to do with the next phase of your life? Who are the people you want to work with? You know, where do you want to live? And that's true of players, and that's true of Craig. And going through the process ultimately tells you, you know, what you want to do and where you want to do it. So it is a process. And, you know, after going through it, you know, this felt like the right fit.
Barry, give us a little thumbnail sketch of how important it was for Craig to not only find the next place for him. And I know he had a struggle, and we'll hear from him Monday at the press conference about leaving Milwaukee. I know that could not have been easy for him and his family. But just the idea of becoming the highest paid manager in the history of the game. And as Jed Hoyer said, it was about time that managers got paid a proper amount compared to the other sports. What's your perspective on that? And Craig's perspective about his responsibility there.
So, you know, that's interesting. So I don't think I haven't had a client whose goal was to become the highest paid this or the highest paid that. You know, that's a byproduct of doing your job and doing it well. That's why Aaron Judge gets what he gets, and Shohei Ohtani is going to get what he gets. it's really more about, again, the important factors of where you want to work and the work environment. You know, whether you're the best player in baseball or the best manager in baseball, you're going to perform at a high level. So it's really, you know, whenever an agent says it's not about the money, it's always about the money. Hmm. But it's not about the money. It's about, you know, these highly paid managers or coaches or players just really thinking about the best place for them to ply their trade. Because if you're the best at something, the money always follows.
Talking with Barry Meister from Meister Sports Management. He is Craig Counsell's agent. Glad to have him on with us here and Inside the Clubhouse on The Score. And Barry, you know, we feel like we know Craig Counsell from, you know, his long playing career and now as manager with the Brewers. Just personally, what if any insights, what kind of guy is Craig Counsell? What will Cubs fans get to know as they do get to know him here in the coming years? Personally, what kind of guy is he?
Well, he's really smart. And really focused. He's one of those people who, instead of seeing from point A to point B and then seeing from point B to C and so on, he's pretty good at seeing from point A to point E and understanding all the steps right away. He's a really good family man. He's a good dad. He's the guy who walks his dog in your neighborhood. He's just a very relatable human being. I've known him for 30 years, and he's just, you know, in Chicago, he'll just be one of those guys you feel like you'd like to be friends with. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, Chicago will be proud to have. He's just a nice guy and a really smart guy.
Barry, you know, there was a report out there that he's already talked to David Ross. Don't know if that's true or not. But the reality of the situation is Craig Counsell seems to do the right things at the right times. If that indeed is the case, it just probably shows people that he was not looking to take David Ross's job at any point. It was just something that was meant to be.
So, you know, I'm sure Craig will talk about it on Monday. I don't know the details. He and David really respect each other. I know they had a lengthy conversation. Again, I wasn't privy to it. But, yeah, he does try to do the right thing. Whenever you take a job, someone's been in that job beforehand. And, you know, when you're a player, when you're a coach, when you're a manager, you don't take somebody's job, because ultimately the giving or, you know, a job or taking of a job is management controlled. So, but I do know that, you know, Craig made every opportunity to do the right thing for, you know, he and his family, but also to do the right thing for anybody that was involved.
Can you talk a little bit about his background? And again, we're talking to Barry Meister, the agent for Craig Counsell, who will be named the Chicago Cub manager officially on Monday at a press conference that will be carried on The Score live from 10 until 2 p.m. with our midday show. Barry, can you talk a little bit about his background? Because I was impressed 10, 11, 12 years ago when I'd see Craig at games scouting. I'd see him at games with Doug Melvin and with Gord Ash, learning the trade, learning the inside. His preparation once he got to be a manager seemed to be pretty complete.
Well, first of all, you mentioned two people that are lifetime baseball people who you can't help but learn from just being near them, and that's Gord Ash and Doug Melvin. Craig's just a very prepared guy. He played in college. He played a number of years. He was the National League, League Championship Series MVP when the Diamondbacks won it all. He has worked in baseball operations, and he's just a very prepared guy. Like I said, he's smart, and, you know, this day in baseball, you're chasing wins, and so being prepared, being able to understand analytical information, but also use your instincts as a baseball man are the two things that you need. And he's pretty well equipped to understand the game and understand people.
Barry, we appreciate your time and your energy. Look forward to seeing you at the press conference at 10 a.m. on Monday morning. Congratulations to you and your sons and Meister Sports Management for this great job that you did for Craig. And I know I talked to a lot of other managers and coaches. They applaud Craig and you as well for hopefully getting the money up in a sport that has lagged behind for head coaches, managers, and coaches from the other sports. So congrats on that, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Monday.
I really appreciate it. It's really good to talk to you two guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Barry. That's Barry Meister, the agent for Craig Counsell, Meister Sports Management. And we will hear from the new skipper of the Cubs, Bruce, as you mentioned, Monday, 10 a.m. to 2. The Craig Counsell press conference live at Wrigley Field will be the Bernstein and Holmes show. We will hear it all right here on 670 The Score.
And,
coming
back, we're going to talk a little bit about the situation with the other free agents out there, including with the Chicago Cubs and Cody Bellinger. His agent, a guy by the name of Boros, had some things to say about him that we'll hear from. Coming back as well, talk about the White Sox, what their first player move might be all about here in The Score. He's Mike, I'm Bruce. It's Inside the Clubhouse on 670thescore.com.
Let's get back to Inside the Clubhouse, now celebrating 10 years on The Score.
Well, certainly, you know, Cody's a free agent, so you've got five-tool player. You know, obviously, in the years prior to coming to the Cubs, he had, you know, had a partial performance due to the just lack of strength. You know, he had surgery, broken leg, all those things. But I think it's pretty evident that when you have youth and you're 28, you're a rare free agent. You have a lot of options. But when he came to Chicago, he just feasted on major league pitching. And you know, I think Chicago got the comforts of a full belly. So they're going to have to loosen their belts to keep Bellinger.
Oh, the Scott Boras press conference at the GM meetings. Always enjoy them. Welcome back in to Inside the Clubhouse, brought to you by Aloha Restoration. Call Aloha for your water, fire, mold, and remodeling needs. And Bruce, you could always count on Scott Boras to throw in the nice jokes like that into his player press conferences while promoting their value.
You call those jokes. Okay. it's one of those audiences that I've been a part of for 35 years, okay? Every GM and owners and winter meetings for the past 35 years when Scott has had big-time free agents, which is just about every year, he writes out his one-liners and studies them before he shows up. He literally stands on a soapbox and talks above us, down below, like he is in charge. He did make a President Trump, he alluded to President Trump in one of his comments as well. But nonetheless, one of the great agents in baseball history, he has the top players, has Bellinger this time around. And he was not showing his hand at all as to where Bellinger is going. Mike, the teams, both Los Angeles teams, the New York Yankees, the Chicago Cubs, I would not be surprised, the St. Louis Cardinals, all those teams are going to be within the wheelhouse of Boros trying to get a contract for Bellinger. And the smart money is on the fact that he will wait until Ohtani signs a contract. And although both players are very different, Ohtani being a DH, a pitcher, and a DH, Bellinger being a center fielder, a first baseman, they have one very important tool in common, and that is they are significant power slug left-handed hitters. Those are rare in the marketplace, so it is my assumption after looking at Scott and how he does business over these years, he will wait for Ohtani, and then he will have the number one left-handed hitter on the marketplace that has slug to be able to bandy about as a free agent. Will the Cubs wait to bring Bellinger back while they're bidding for and waiting for Ohtani? It's unclear at this time. But I do know the Cubs certainly have interest in bringing Bellinger back. it's probably a more realistic sign than thinking that Ohtani is going to come to the Cubs.
Yeah, and Bruce, the other X factor there, and we talked about him on the show last week, is Juan Soto, and the Padres possibly looking to move on via trade, with Soto being a huge target, and all of those same teams would be involved. So, I mean, any could be the first domino to fall in this for the Bellinger situation that you're talking about.
So I talked to A.J. Preller, the Padres president of baseball operations, at the GM meetings. He told me he has had no discussions with the Chicago Cubs on Juan Soto at that point. That point was Wednesday afternoon. I can't tell you what Jed or Preller, who's a friend of his, I had in mind going forward, but that was the story then. I think Soto is going to get traded. I think Pete Alonso of the Mets is going to get traded. I think the Cubs will be interested in talking about both. Christopher Morel will be in either and both of those situations. If there is a trade to be made, both teams, as they should, like him very much. Mike, in wrapping up the show, our 10th anniversary show, I have people to thank, including you so much for being a great co-host. Alex, for doing a great job producing the show today. Ben Finfer, Wayne Randazzo, Jordan Bernfield, Matt Spiegel, Chris Ranji, Espo, you, of course, and my great co-host right now, David Haw. Thank you so much for 10 years. Thanks to the great production people, the great support by Mitch Rosen, Ryan Porth, all the people at the Score who supported me during these 10 years of joy talking to Chicago baseball fans about the Chicago teams. Hopefully we'll have 10 more, Espo.
Absolutely, Bruce, and my thanks and everyone else's thanks to you for helping us learn more and enjoy this wonderful game of baseball that we all love so much. We certainly appreciate your work as always, and it's always great to be able to sit in with you. David is off today. I'd be glad to sit in. Also wanted to remind everyone, the Chris Tannehill and Dave Wanstead will be out at Four Winds Casino. The Four Winds Football Forecast, live and in person at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. That is tomorrow from noon to 1:30 Eastern Time. It's a free event. Go meet Wani, get an autograph and a photo with Coach. Hang out with him for the start of the NFL games, or you can book a room and make a weekend of it. The winning never stops at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, your entertainment escape. Our thanks to Bruce, our thanks to Wayne Randazzo, Matt Spiegel, and Barry Meister, our guest. Thanks to Alex Kuhn for producing the show. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage is next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Inside the Clubhouse, now celebrating 10 years on the Score.
Well, certainly, you know, Cody's a free agent, so you've got a five-tool player. You know, obviously, in the years prior to coming to the Cubs, he had, you know, had a partial performance due to the just lack of strength. You know, he had surgery, broken leg, all those things. But I think it's pretty evident that when you have youth and you're 28, you're a rare free agent. You have a lot of options. But when he came to Chicago, he just feasted on major league pitching. And I think Chicago got the comforts of a full belly So they're going to have to loosen their belts to keep Bellinger.
Oh, the Scott Boras press conference at the GM meetings. Always enjoy them. Welcome back in to Inside the Clubhouse, brought to you by Aloha Restoration. Call Aloha for your water, fire, mold, and remodeling needs. And, Bruce, you could always count on Scott Boras to throw in the nice jokes like that into his player press conferences while you promoting their jokes. Value.
You call those jokes. Okay. It's one of those audiences that I've been a part of for 35 years, okay? Every GM and owners and winter meetings for the past 35 years when Scott has had big-time free agents, which is just about every year. He writes out his one-liners and studies them before he shows up. He literally stands on a soapbox and talks above us, down below, like he is in charge. He did make a President Trump, he alluded to President Trump in one of his comments as well. But nonetheless, one of the great agents in baseball history, he has the top players, has Bellinger this time around. And he was not showing his hand at all as to where Bellinger is going. Mike, the teams, both Los Angeles teams, the New York Yankees, the Chicago Cubs, I would not be surprised, the St. Louis Cardinals, all those teams are going to be within the wheelhouse of Boras trying to get a contract for Bellinger. And the smart money is on the fact that he will wait until Ohtani signs a contract. And although both players are very different, Ohtani being a DH, a pitcher, and a DH, Bellinger being a center fielder, a first baseman, they have one very important tool in common, and that is they are significant power slug left-handed hitters. Well, those are rare in the marketplace, so it is my assumption after looking at Scott and how he does business over these years, he will wait for Ohtani, and then he will have the number one left-handed hitter on the marketplace that has slug to be able to bandy about as a free agent. Will the Cubs wait to bring Bellinger back while they're bidding for and waiting for Ohtani? It's unclear at this time, but I do know the Cubs certainly have interest in bringing Bellinger back. It's probably a more realistic sign than thinking that Ohtani is going to come to the Cubs.
Yeah, and Bruce, the other X factor there, and we talked about him on the show last week, is Juan Soto, and the Padres possibly looking to move on via trade with Soto being a huge target, and all of those same teams would be involved. So, I mean, any could be the first domino to fall in this for the Bellinger situation that you're talking about.
So I talked to A.J. Preller, the Padres president of baseball operations at the GM meetings. He told me he has had no discussions with the Chicago Cubs on Juan Soto at that point. That point was Wednesday afternoon. I can't tell you what Jed or Preller, who's a friend of his, had in mind going forward, but that was the story then. I think Soto is going to get traded. I think Pete Alonso of the Mets is going to get traded. I think the Cubs will be interested in talking about both. Christopher Morel will be in either and both of those situations. If there is a trade to be made, both teams, as they should, like him very much. Mike, in wrapping up the show, our 10th anniversary show, I have people to thank, including you so much for being a great co-host. Alex, for doing a great job producing the show today. Ben Finfer, Wayne Randazzo, Jordan Bernfield, Matt Spiegel, Chris Ranji, Espo, you, of course, and my great co-host right now, David Haw. Thank you so much for 10 years. Thanks to the great production people, the great support by Mitch Rosen, Ryan Porth, all the people at the Score who supported me during these 10 years of joy talking to Chicago baseball fans about the Chicago teams. Hopefully we'll have 10 more, Espo.
Absolutely, Bruce, and my thanks and everyone else's thanks to you for helping us learn more and enjoy this wonderful game of baseball that we all love so much. We certainly appreciate your work as always, and it's always great to be able to sit in with you. David is off today. I'd be glad to sit in. Also wanted to remind everyone The Chris Tannehill and Dave Wanstead will be out at Four Winds Casino. The Four Winds football forecast live and in person at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. That is tomorrow from noon to 1:30 Eastern time. It's a free event. Go meet Wani, get an autograph and a photo with Coach. Hang out with him for the start of the NFL games, or you can book a room and make a weekend of it. The winning never stops at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, your entertainment escape. Our thanks to Bruce, our thanks to Wayne Randazzo, Matt Spiegel, and Barry Meister, our guest. Thanks to Alex Kuhn for producing the show. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage is next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.